The Outer Rim, present day.
Vestara had always hoped that one day, if her path towards Sith mastery unfolded as she had dreamed, she would be permitted aboard the Omen, the Ship of Destiny, to learn its secrets and that of her own history. She had never in her wildest dreams imagined that another ship might descend from the skies, looking like a red winged eye, to summon and teach her. But the ways of fate are strange indeed, and Vestara seized the challenge eagerly. Shortly after the devastating news that the Sith, far from ruling the galaxy as the tribe had ignorantly assumed, were facing extinction, Vestara had been called to enter ship itself. She was not the first, she knew. Lord Vol, the Grand Lords, and the Masters had all preceded her, but she was the first among the apprentices and had stood quietly before it. The spherical vessel was bizarre, almost beyond her imagining. Where a moment earlier had been a seamless red, pebbly curved surface, there was now an open hatch. Before her eyes, a line formed beneath the glowing yellow eye-like viewport. A ramp extended in welcome. Vestara did not hesitate. Indeed, she had to stop herself from racing upward. She felt the vessel's pleasure as she first placed her boot upon the ramp. It was almost like a sigh of relief. She forced herself not to grin. Steadily, she walked upward into the heart of the vessel. She was not certain at all what to expect, and so simply observed. The interior was smaller than the exterior would indicate. It was a single chamber, 4 meters across and 2.5 high. The curving walls inside looked exactly like those outside, and before she could think, Vestara extended a hand and ran her fingers lightly along the pebbly orange surface. She could have sworn she felt the vessel quiver, like a pet ma'ut being caressed. The wall was warm to the touch as well, and seemed to pulse slightly, like a living thing. There were no sets of controls, no chairs, nothing she had been led to find inside of a ship or indeed any mechanical construct. Ship wasn't going to give her any clues either. What was expected of her then? Vestara frowned, then knelt down in the center of the empty, warm chamber. She closed her eyes and reached out in the force to the vessel.
Command me,
Ship told her. A smile tugged at the scarred corner of her mouth.
Fly then.
She didn't really expect it to obey so simple an instruction, and when suddenly the door was sealed over, like a wound closing, and the ship instantly vertically rose, Vestara tasted fear. Only for a moment, though. She did not blindly trust the ship, but she knew what he was designed for, and she knew she had the will to direct him if she didn't panic. She moved forward on the strange surface to where she could see out the viewport to the temple as it receded, the faces of the Sith watching in the courtyard rapidly becoming tiny dots. She was as high as she had ever been on Tick, and then suddenly she was higher still, and looking down on her home planet with eyes wide in astonishment. It was beautiful, green and brown and blue, with wisps of white clouds here and there. And Vestara suddenly wasn't sure she wanted to leave it.
You wish to be a Sith Master, do you not?
You know I do.
Then leave this world behind so that you may conquer others.
Slowly, her palms moist, Vestara had nodded.
We will need more than you, Ship, if we are to conquer worlds in the name of the Sith.
I will teach you. I will teach all of you.
And so he had. Every apprentice, every Sith knight, every master and lord learned how to navigate the vessel. He knew more about the Omen than they did, and they eagerly drank in the knowledge it shared. And then he took them to the stars. They began with the conquest of a single vessel, alone and unprotected, no match for Ship. They harried it, dancing and fighting with weapons that Ship manifested into physical form with a thought, forcing the vessel to crash land on an uninhabited world. What crew did not die in the accident met death by Sith lightsabers, Shikar, or glass parang, a bladed weapon originally used for clearing undergrowth that had new value as a weapon that could be thrown and then returned to the thrower. The Sith aboard ship scavenged this, their first kill, and with the vessel's parts were able to make strides toward reconstructing Omen. And they returned to space, isolated and distant from the rest of the galaxy they might have been until now, but no longer. Ship knew where to take them, how to get there, and they would hunt and take their prizes and return with no one left to reveal the location of their hidden world. So they did, again and again, until Omen was completed and spaceworthy. 5,000 years old it might be, but it was Sith, and with repairs, it again dominated the skies. Two ships now, one a Sith training vessel, the other a Sith battlecruiser. More vessels fell beneath the determined Sith attacks, more vessels that would be pressed into service to the dark side of the Force. Vistara was permitted to be part of the crew of one of the very first craft so commandeered. It had been given to Lady Rhea to command, and renamed Eternal Crusader. Vistara learned, as all of them had, by a few practice drills, and by jumping with both feet into full-on space battles. These new spacefaring tribe members had even adopted new garb for the purpose. Loose flowing robes were a hindrance in scrambling aboard downed vessels and fighting in tight quarters. Instead, Vistara and the other crew members of the various vessels in the new Sith Armada wore tight-fitting pants, shirts that permitted air to circulate and cool overheated bodies, comfortable boots for running and climbing, and weapons that were small, deadly, and clipped neatly to a belt, such as vibroblades, shotos, shikars, and parangs, as well as the traditional lightsaber. Vistara's light brown hair, which she still kept long, was almost always tightly braided now. She could not afford any distractions.